Well, I just finished eating supper with the Odells, and if you remember, Brother Odell was here a number of months back and talked to us about how he profited in Christ Jesus, and we've done something we've never done for anyone else. We've asked him to come back and teach on anything he wants to teach on, all right? And so, Brother Odell, without anything more than that, why don't you come? Oh, the only other thing I was going to say, about 3 years ago, I heard him preach a message called What the Blind Man Saw. I'm going to put him on notice. If we don't get a copy of it, we'll probably sue him. All right? But other than that, go ahead, brother. Come ahead.
This is intimidating, Moses. It's fine. It's fine. Amen. I have a whole bunch of notes here.
Josh, move over just a little bit so she can
Genesis chapter 15, if you want to go to Genesis chapter 15.
I'm sorry, what did you say, sir?
In Genesis chapter 15, Abraham is trying to have a worship service. And God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Abraham's trying to have a worship service, but some birds keep messing it up. And so let's look at that. Genesis 15, verse 7. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now, I'm not a great Bible theologian like your preacher is, but I just have something very practical that I want to teach you this evening. Just a couple other verses that I was thinking of in Ecclesiastes 10:20. It says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Ever hear the phrase, a little birdie told me so? That's where it comes from, your King James Bible. In 2 Samuel 21, there's a lady called Rizpah, whose sons had been slain, and she suffered not the birds of the air to rest on them. She kept chasing the birds away. And in Revelation 18:2, there's another verse. Says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. I want to preach to you, teach you tonight on some birds I know.
Amen.
In the church, there's some birds I know. And when I was 17, any 17-year-olds in here? Anybody close to 17? Okay, well, all right, how old are you?
15,
that's good. When I was 17 years old, I wasn't a Christian. No, I didn't grow up in a Christian family or anything like that. We never really went to church. But when I was 17 years old, it was New Year's Eve. And my mom and dad went off to celebrate New Year's Eve, some party. My sister, who's 1 year older than I, stayed home and watched all our brothers and sisters, put them to bed, you know, that sort of thing. We got to stay up and watch the late night movie. The late night movie was scary. It was Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, the original one, black and white. And it was all in black and white. And I'm telling you, it scared me. Here we are at midnight, and it's dark, and watching this frightening movie. You know what? I've never liked or trusted birds since. Amen. All right. There's a section down on my road, on Hunter's Creek Road. There's a section just past the intersection of Hunter's Creek and Center Line of telephone lines. And I'm telling you, there's always 100, 150 birds all lined up on that telephone line or power line. And I don't, you know what? Sometimes I often think when I drive by it, or maybe I say it out loud, I look at those birds and I say, what are you up to? What are you guys up to? You know, that sort of thing. Well, don't get me wrong. There's some birds that I do love, like fried chicken, turkey, pheasant, duck. But they taste delicious. Amen. I have a friend. His name's Jonathan, and his wife's name is Blaise. They live out in Boise, Idaho. And every couple years, my wife and I go to Boise, Idaho for a pastor school out there. I think we just go out there not really for the pastor school. We really enjoy the scenery out west. And but we stay at Jonathan and Blaise's home. And they have a beautiful home. And when we go out there, Jonathan will say on a Sunday night after church or sometime, maybe a Monday night or Tuesday night, he'll say, would you like an ice cream? I mean, who would say no? I love ice cream. So I said, yeah, I'd like an ice cream. He said, let's all get in the car. So we get in the car, and we're gone for like an hour's drive. And I'm like, really? There isn't an ice cream parlor closer than an hour's drive? And his wife says, oh, there's one just two blocks from our house. But Jonathan has to take the long way around, like go around the whole city. He's out in the desert area, and he's looking for birds. He sees a bird, and he pulls his binoculars, parks the car, and he's looking through his binoculars, and then he starts telling me all about this bird, all kinds of information that I really don't care about. Amen? I'm not a bird watcher. I don't care about birds. But I know God created them, and they're part of the creation of God, but I'm not a bird man, all right? I would sit in the car while he's looking and studying and seeing, oh, it's a red-breasted, you know, yellow nose, I don't know what, going through all these things, wingtip, tail, I don't know, and I'm like, just give me a gun, I'll shoot it, amen? I'll shoot it and we can get going, amen? I want ice cream, amen? Well, that me, I just want to shoot it. I'm not a bird lover. I'm not a bird watcher. We're never going to have a pet bird in our house, all right? But living out in the country as I do in Holland, and I'm sure you out here, I've seen many different kinds of birds that I have never seen before. And since I've started pastoring, I've seen many kinds of birds in the churches. In the church that I've never seen before. Let me talk about a few of them, and I want to take a moment to pray right now first. Father, I pray you give me certainly wisdom, the words to speak, and the message at hand. Lord, I'm not here to upset or offend anyone. In fact, Lord, I'm reminded of that verse that says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, bless us as only you can. Maybe we have a good time this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First bird that I don't know if you even call it a bird, but first thing I can think of is bats. People say there's bats in the belfry, you know, that sort of thing. Well, I understand that they're even protected by the government. A few years back, I took a missions trip to the Congo, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And I was there for a good couple of weeks. And every night, 8 o'clock, the bats came out and everybody went inside. Amen. Millions, millions of bats flying all around. And they were eating all the millions and millions of those little bloodsuckers. What are they called? Mosquitoes. Thank you. Mosquitoes. And so they were even in my little room that I had They were in the ceiling. You could hear them rustling around in the ceiling. And then in the hallway, outside of my little room, in this little hallway, there was a hole in the ceiling, and they would do their droppings all over the floor and every morning, and whatever had to be all cleaned up and taken care of. But millions and millions of bats, and bats love the darkness. And Jesus said in John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I hope you don't. Are you a Batman? Do you love darkness rather than light? I don't want to be a Batman, all right? They're the kind of individual who might say, you know, they're the kind of people in churches say, we're in the church age. We're in the age of grace. You know, I have grace. I can do whatever I want. That's a bat person, all right? And what they don't realize is that grace teaches you to live right. Amen? Just because you got grace doesn't mean you can do anything you want. Or, you know, you have to live right. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. This is what grace teaches us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. All right? So bats, like sinners, spread their sin. That's what some people say. Some people like bats. I don't like bats. Some people say they kind of look like a heavenly creature. But to me, it's just a rat with wings. Amen. All right. I don't like bats. We don't have any room in church for bats. All right. Next one I see is a sparrow. A sparrow, they can mess up the worship service of church too. The sparrow is a harmless bird. They don't do anything wrong. They don't see anything wrong. There are certain church members that are like sparrows in our church. Everything's fine. Do whatever you want. They don't see anything wrong. They don't do anything wrong in their own eyes. They're the kind of the bird that thinks or says something like, I don't see anything wrong with drinking. I don't see anything wrong with smoking a little marijuana. I don't see anything wrong with dancing with the lady. That's a sparrow. Maybe the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. They'll say something like, well, it's not in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with it if it's not in, or nothing, you know, wrong with it if the Bible isn't against it. And there's no Bible verse that says, thou shalt not smoke marijuana. You know, that sort of thing. Well, you know what? Shooting heroin isn't in the Bible either, but I know it's wrong. All right? Poison ivy is one of God's creation as well. And I'm smart enough not to smoke that either. All right? I know. Listen. You know, they're the kind of people say, well, the word Bible isn't in the Bible, or the Trinity, or missionaries, or rapture, you know, that sort of thing. See, they're just out there causing trouble. That's what a sparrow is. They're the kind of individuals that they don't see any harm in dating or kissing and holding hands or wearing bikinis, you know, things like that. And but I read in 1 Corinthians 7:1 where it says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And it's a proven fact that if a man and a woman don't touch, they can't have babies. Amen? It's a proven fact. You know, just stick with the Bible. Let science and education and everybody else catch up later. All right? So the question then becomes, shall we see how far from sin we can get, or how close we can get? That's a sparrow. They want to see how close they can get. You know what God tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17? He says, wherefore, Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. All right? You know, Christian, we're not better than lost people. We're just different. We're better off than lost people, all right? We're better off for sure, saved and on our way to heaven. Glory to God. Amen. But we're different. We're different from them. We're supposed to be separate from sinners. If you're a sparrow here tonight, God help you. Don't be a sparrow. Don't be a sparrow. The third one I have is a parrot. A parrot. Now, God created us with two ears, right, and one mouth, and so we can listen twice as much as we speak. A parrot, that kind of a church member, they just kind of repeat everything they hear. They regurgitate everything they hear, you know. And they try to hide it by making it a prayer request. Oh, pray for brother so-and-so. He came home drunk again last night, you know. That sort of thing. Or, you know, pray for so-and-so. She's fooling around with a neighbor's husband again, you know. That sort of thing. That's a parrot. They're always just regurgitating what they hear or see. If it's true, the Bible calls it tale-bearing. Tale-bearing.
Amen.
Or gossip. All right? Think. There's a, what do they call that? Acronym? Think. THINK. Think before you speak, all right? And is what I have to say, is it true? T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? Is it N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? Because that's the way Christians are supposed to be.
Amen.
And supposed to speak. I heard a story about a man and a couple that went into a pet store and to get a bird. They went to buy a bird in a pet shop. I don't know what was wrong with them, but the shop owner, anybody own have a bird, pet birds? Oh, Lord bless you, ladies. The preacher's wife has one too. Oh, okay.
We own chickens.
All right. Well, Lord help you. Amen. Amen. So, a man and a woman, they went into a pet store to buy a bird. The man walked by the parrot a couple times, and the parrot went, psst, psst. And the man went over to the parrot, and the parrot looked at him and he said, "Your wife is ugly." Oh. He was kind of taken back by what that parrot had said, kind of ignored it and shook him up a little bit, but he went around and looking at other birds, and he came around that aisle again, and that parrot said, "Psst, psst." And the man said, "What?" to the bird, and the bird said, "Your wife is ugly." And so he got upset and offended, went over to the shop owner, and the shop owner took the bird in the back room and disciplined it somehow, because the bird came back with all its feathers rifled, you know, and ruffled up. So, but a moment later, the guy's still looking around the store, and he comes back around by that bird, and that bird goes, and the man goes to the bird and like, "What is it?" And the bird says, "You know." Christian, we would do well to keep our mouths shut, right? The Bible says study. That means work. How many of you know study is hard work? Study to be quiet and to do your own business. All right? Listen, there's a lot of parrots in the church. Lord, help us. If you're a parrot, amen. I'm reminded of the story in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 1, where King Saul had died. And an Amalekite had come to David at that time and gave David the news that Saul was now dead. And David said to the young man that told him, "How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead?" And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind, he saw me and called me, and I answered, "Here am I." And he said unto me, "Who art thou?" And I answered, "I'm an Amalekite." And he said unto me again, "Stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me." And so I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them hither unto my Lord. This guy was thinking he had bragging rights, you know, and thought that he would be rewarded for all of this. Was the story true? Yeah, it was true. He did kill King Saul. He finished him off, basically. But listen, sometimes what you hear might be true, but don't brag about it. This guy lost his life because of that. All right? But David certainly lamented Saul's death and believed that, you know, we're not to mess with the Lord's anointed. And that's exactly what this Amalekite did. He messed with the Lord's anointed. So David has the Amalekite killed for what he did. So don't be like the parrot, and don't repeat everything that you hear. How are we doing so far? Okay?
Amen.
We're doing all right? A little different type of message this evening, I'm sure. Listen, I'm the kind of guy who at first, if you don't like me, as you get to know me, that feeling intensifies. All right? Next one is a peacock. A peacock. You know, a peacock has to announce to everybody that they're there. "I'm here in church. Everybody see me?" You know, that sort of thing. You know, they're cawing and spreading their wings and, you know, strutting around doing their stuff. I was down in St. Croix, Virgin Islands, a year ago with my wife. I go down there usually once a year, and I preach down there, and I preach many times. They have a mission that we support right in the inner city of Christiansted, and the Lighthouse Ministry. They feed the homeless every morning, and we preach to them while they're eating. So I preach there many times, and of course the church service as well on Sundays and Wednesday. I haven't preached on a Wednesday, I don't think, just Sundays. And so, amen. But when I was in St. Croix driving down the road, and the fastest you can go is about 35 miles an hour, they're all country winding roads, and you drive on the opposite side of the road, all right, than what we do here in the States. And I was driving down the road, and I had to come to a screeching halt. There were many cars backed up the LAs because there was this big peacock in the middle of the road, just fanned all out, you know, for all the world to see, just strutting, going down, walking down the middle of the road, you know, type thing. You know, they're just, it reminds me of kind of a very proud and arrogant type of individuals. And my Bible tells us in Proverbs 6:16, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And the first one is a proud look. A proud look. A proud look is first on the list. God says, "I hate it. I hate it." All right? Proud and arrogance really was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel 16:49 tells us, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." So it was pride, the very first thing. Pride's not a good thing.
Amen.
We need to get rid of pride. Listen, if you're prideful, you need, people say swallow your pride. Don't swallow your pride. Flush it down the toilet. Get rid of it. Amen. Pride's not good. You know what the Lord said, Jehovah God? He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Learn to use the word pleased.
That's right.
Instead of proud. All right? Because proud's like 99% of the time it's negative in the Bible. Satan, when Satan fell, he said, I will, five times, I will be like the Most High God. He wanted God's job, all right? And he got kicked out of heaven because of his pride and his arrogance. Church, we're not to be like this peacock. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. In fact, Romans chapter 12, And verse 3 says, For I say, through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man that measure of faith. Amen. Listen, we're not to be consumed with self. Honey, isn't it time for my next selfie? You know? We're not to be consumed with self. All right? You want to get consumed? Get consumed with Jesus, amen, or with the Holy Spirit of God in your life. But sometimes these people that are peacocks in the church, everything revolves around them, you know, that sort of thing. And I hope you're not a peacock in the church, because pride is the root of all other sins. In fact, it's only by pride cometh contention, the Bible says. So if there's contention between you and another individual, whether it's a church member, a school friend, maybe your neighbor, maybe a husband and wife, maybe you and the pastor, whatever, it's because of your pride. Don't be a peacock. All right? Amen. Can you do that? Don't be a peacock. Can you take yourself out of the picture? That's what I'm talking about this morning, all right? Another one is a woodpecker. There's a bunch of woodpeckers in the church, too. I was out of state last week. My wife takes a cell phone and sends me a message. Sends me a message in a picture. It's a picture of my brand new shed. I just got an Amish shed, and a woodpecker's put a hole through my shed already.
Oh.
About the size of a quarter. Oh, my soul. You know what a woodpecker is? It's kind of the person in the church that's always knocking the next person. You know, I can preach better than him. I can sing better than her. I can work. I can do that job better than that person. I can count better. I can read better. I can mow the lawn better. I can clean better. I can teach better. I can do anything better than anybody else in this church. That's what a woodpecker is. And you can tell anybody how to do their job well, but that woodpecker won't do it himself or herself. They won't do it themselves. You know everything. You can do everything. But you don't do anything. That's a woodpecker. All right? Don't do anything except put holes through the preacher's shed. Amen. Let me give you number six. Number six is a crow. A crow. That represents, I think, the church member that's a thief. A thief. Somebody who steals. I read in Malachi, will a man rob God? ? And the answer is, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You know, some people in our church are crows. They keep back everything. They don't tithe. They're not faithful in their giving. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and said, woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done. You're supposed to tithe. I believe it's God's plan. and not, he said, this ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. All right? You know, God says in 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, what day is that?
Sunday.
What day is it?
Sunday.
Sunday. You know what? You're smarter than most of the people out in the world. Because they think the first day of the week is Monday. But you know better, don't you? Because you come to church, that's why. First day of the week is Sunday. I think I told you the last time I was here, I went to a Subway restaurant and on a Friday night, and they said they had the weekend special. So I said, I want the weekend special. And she looked at me and said, that's tomorrow. I said, okay, Saturday is the weekend. That's correct. And she said, it's Saturday and Sunday. And I said, Saturday and Sunday is not the weekend. Friday and Saturday is the weekend. Sunday is the first day of the week. And she just looked at me like, she didn't have a clue. She didn't have a clue. So I'm glad the young people in this church know what the first day of the week is. Amen. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store by him, or lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And God hath prospered him. That means there's some kind of proportion that you're supposed to give back to God. All right? That sort of thing. Amen. You don't have to squirm. We're not taking an offering tonight, I don't think so. All right? Tithing is something that you can test God about. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if now not open the windows of heaven, you know, Lord of hosts, if I not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. You know what? You can prove God. Test him. That would be a good thing to do. See how it works for you. I'm sure it'll work for you. Praise the Lord. I remember when I got saved and found out what tithing was, and I'm like, sat down, figured out, I was a budget guy. I can put a budget together. And I budgeted everything. You could ask me as a teen, I was a fanatic though. You could ask me as a teenager how much money I had at any given time. And I could tell you, I had $97.23, all right? I just knew that because I just, that was me, all right? That sort of thing. But I lost my train of thought. But amen. Just see how it works for you. So when I got saved, I found out what tithing was. I'm like, it doesn't calculate. It doesn't work. It doesn't figure out. I couldn't work my budget and put tithing in there. It was too difficult. And I said, I can't afford it. And a guy that I was with, a good brother in Christ, he said, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to have the blessings of God on your life. And he said, just do it. And I said, okay, I will. And I did it. I started tithing. And I've never quit. I've never stopped. I'm still tithing. All right, and God blesses, and I get more than $97.23.
Amen.
I got a bunch more than that in my bank account now. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Because tithing is right. Amen. It's right. So, and by the way, tithing is not giving. It's just paying your bill. You're just giving back to God what He, a portion of what He's prospered you with. Giving is really sacrificial giving, giving to missions, missionaries. And why don't you be like the house of Stephanas, who addicted themselves. You want a good addiction? Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Amen. Do something special for a missionary that comes your way. All right? Can I encourage you? Don't be a crow. Don't be a crow. Learn how to give. Let me give you number 7. A buzzard. A buzzard. There's some buzzards in the church too. Amen. They don't sing. You know, they don't add life to the church. They don't join in and help others, anything like that. They don't want to be members of the church. They don't get involved in ministry and serving in the church. They just want to be a buzzer. Amen. They can smell, and by the way, too, they've got good senses. They smell stink for miles. And they like to circle the wagons or circle the churches and looking for that free meal, looking for whatever they can get for free. They come into the church and they say, "Pastor, what does your church have to offer us?" You know, that sort of thing. What do you got to offer us? They can tell you the faults and the problems of every church they've visited. Amen. They like to play church police too. That sort of thing. Smelling out sin. Don't be a buzzard. Amen. Now I want to give you a few good birds. All right? A few good birds, if there is such a thing. First one I can think of is a dove. A dove. I think of Solomon, and Solomon said to his bride, he said, "Thou hast dove's eyes." Amen.
Amen.
I call my wife every now and then lovey-dovey. Amen. One of my personal names for doves. Amen. The dove has a lifespan of about 18 months. And so they don't live very long. A dove doesn't have a negative disposition whatsoever. Life is short for the dove. The Bible says, "What is your life?" All right? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Amen. Don't spend your days in bitterness or anything like that. Be happy, all right? Happy, happy, happy. Jesus said, "I came to give life and to give it more abundantly," an abundant life. So don't be bitter. Bitterness will hurt you, it'll defile you, it'll defile all of those around you. So don't be bitter, be the dove. And there's another one, a killdeer, or I think it's called a sandpiper. As well. And they're very brave, brave birds. They're very protective birds as well. They lay their eggs in a nest right on the ground. And boy, if you walk out into the field or anywhere near it, they will let you know. They're very protective. They're very brave. God, and you know what? Just like these birds, God gives you and I some boldness as well. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. And he tells us that in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, we can go to the throne of God with a holy boldness. You read in the book of Acts where, you know, they got together and prayed and they preached the word with boldness. And so be like the killdeer or that sandpiper. Be brave, be victorious in your life. Don't cower. Don't get taken in by the fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Let me give you another one. The robin. The robin's a good one too. Robin's the only bird that sings in a storm. It's the only bird that sings in a storm. Singing in the rain. A robin is always positive. Amen. That kind of a person only has something good to say. You can't get a negative thing out of them. Robins are happy birds. All right? They're joyful. They're always happy, smiling, laughing, praising the Lord as they're pulling the worms out of the ground. You never saw a mad robin. They're happy. Amen. They love to sing. Ho, 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 Hosanna, ha, ha, hallelujah, he saved me, I've got the joy of the Lord. Amen. You watch the robins, the next time they're walking around pulling worms out, they're singing that song, amen, they're happy. You see something else about a robin. When people see robins in the springtime, they get excited. Because it's a sign of spring. They're the early bird. That's what you're going to see first. And a Robin kind of a person in your church is like the person that can't wait to get to church. So they get to church a half hour early. Wow. They make sure the chairs are set up, the songbooks are in place. Yeah. They ask the pastors anything they can do, you know, that sort of thing. Straighten up this, straighten up that. Man, they're excited about being church. They're the first ones there. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the robin. And then there's an eagle. An eagle is a good bird, right? He represents the great Christian. All right? In a storm, he sticks his nose right up into the wind. And the harder that wind blows, the higher he soars. Reminds me of that song, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm homeward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Be an eagle. Be like an eagle. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. I have one more bird for you. It's my wife's favorite bird. It's a hummingbird. A hummingbird. A hummingbird, they love sweet water. Amen. You know what this book is? It's sweet water. A hummingbird in your church is the kind of person that just loves the Word of God. They can't get enough of the Word of God. And man, it's awesome that they're sanctified and cleansed it by the washing of the water of the Word. Amen. How does a hummingbird help the church? How does it help? That's an interesting question because, you know, scientifically speaking, it's impossible for a hummingbird to fly. It really is impossible. They don't have enough wingspan to carry the weight. They weigh too much. So I liken them unto the Christian. They're the type of Christian who seemingly do what is impossible. They're so close to God that whatever God wants, you know, whatever they set out to do, they do the impossible. Amen. Their attitude is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. If you're in church today and you are likened unto a bat, or a sparrow, a parrot, a peacock, a woodpecker, a crow, or a buzzard. These are all bad kinds of birds that love to mess up a church worship service. I'd ask you to repent of being those kinds of birds. All right? Strive to be the good bird in the church. Be the dove. Be the one that's loving, caring, compassionate. By the way, they taste like chicken, too. Just in case you didn't know. That was from my Boy Scout survival training, all right. But thank God for the doves, amen. Killdeer, be a killdeer, amen. Be brave, be a robin. Be happy, put a smile on your face. You know, I see my church, they'll sing a song, we'll sing a congregational, and I'll have to stop them, and I'll say, let's do something really strange and unusual. And they'll say, what's that? And I'll say, let's try smiling when we sing. Amen? Let's just try it. Let's just be happy when we sing. Amen? So be like a robin. They're the first ones. They're excited about being in church, and they want to be there, and amen. And they're a real blessing to the preacher. And be an eagle. Eagle is a strong, solid Christian. Praise the Lord. And a hummingbird. Man, be the kind of person that you can get so close to God you can do the impossible. And everybody just kind of scratches their head. How did you do that? Only God can do that. Those are some birds I know in the church. Let's pray. Father, I did my best here today in bringing forth some of the birds that I know related to them, people in the church. I pray, Father, that if we saw ourselves anywheres in the bad church, the bad bird crowd, Lord, that we would repent of that, change our ways, and live a life, a Christian life, that would bring honor and glory to you. Help us not to be the bad bird. And Lord, I gave many good examples of good birds in the Bible too, and a little bit about them. Lord, help us to strive to be good birds in the church. We're not here to mess up any of the worship services that go on, Lord. May you count us faithful always in all things that we say and do. Thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy always in our life. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. Bless this church and this dear pastor and his wife. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, Bill Randall taught me years ago when he always used to say, the key to the ministry is personality. Everybody's personality is different. No two are the same. Whenever you see preachers come out of Bible colleges and they're all cookie cutters, there's something wrong. Okay? Years ago, Ruth Ann and I knew a fellow by the name of Mike Rizzuti, the only guy that could compete with Dale as far as prison time and such. And he went up to Massachusetts where he grew up just to see what he could find, you know, in the sense of preachers and such. And I asked him, I said, well, what'd you find up there? And he said, you know, now this is back in the early 2000s, and he said, you know, all the preachers, they're preaching against cloning. But you know, everyone's a clone.
Yeah.
How many people here think that Willie O'Dell's a clone of anything? No. All right, you're just dealing with personality with God poured inside.
Nope, he's a perfect ever.
Yeah. It's a joy to me and a delight to me. Brother O'Dell, I mean that. I just feel like I've been cheated having met you so late in life. Okay? And, you know, I ate dinner with them, and they said, well, how much does your wife, you know, I was talking about things I'm impassioned about or whatever. And they said, well, how much does your wife, you know, she just go along with it? I said, my wife has things she's impassioned about, okay? But I said, really, it's like your wife. Yeah. If you watch her, her passion is her husband. It just is. Mm-hmm. Now, she has things she firmly believes in, but her passion is that man sitting next to her. That's my wife's, hey, who are you talking? Why are you talking right now? That's not your time to talk. He's learning, okay? That's what he's doing, all right? And he's doing a good job. But the point is, what you have here with this couple is something that I love watching God do, okay? And I appreciate you inviting us over there to Hunts Creek Baptist Church. Appreciate you, man. We may not always be able to participate in what you're doing, but we like those invites. All right. With that, John Battis, why don't you close this meeting?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful tonight, Lord, to be here. We thank you for our guests, Lord, and the message that you brought, Father, and teach us, Lord, that if we be one of those birds, Lord, that the bad birds, Lord, speak to our hearts and teach us to repent, Lord, and turn away from that. And Lord, we're just so grateful that they came, Father. We want to thank you and praise your name, Lord. And now we just pray for the time of fellowship and safe travel home tonight, Lord. And thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.